Hello! We're back. How's it going? Ooh, it's not a bad Monday night, is it? It's really not. 3-1 to the Arsenal. And in the box, first and foremost, was Jake Taylor. Then there's Joshua Page. Then there's Norma Ott. Norma Ott, my favourite. Oh my God, I have muted myself, sorry. Matt Sanasi's there. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Is there? And 235-100, Mika for life, Simo A. Oh, hello, Formi Noza, Adil Shaikh, Will O'Brien. Oh, God, it's all happening. Who else is with us? It's Danny the GFP. Say hello, Dan.
Hello, my name's Danny. I'm a Sagittarius and I like cats. Is that how we start these things? I can't remember. I'm not really, I'm a Libra, but it's all bollocks.
Oh, Jesus wept. Okay, that's Danny. And also, we have John. John, say hello.
I'm not going to introduce myself. I'm going to say thank you, Yvonne, yet again. Always coming in with the donations just as we start. Second half FC, yet again, 10 wins in a row. Thank you so much, Yvonne. And thank you, Chatbox, as well, because I didn't even have to prompt you this time. Straight in with the thanks to Yvonne. You guys are great. But yes, I'm here as well, so hello.
Yvonne, you're an absolute rock star. I just can't believe how good you are to us. Thank you ever so much. A t-shirt will be on its way. It'll be with you by the end of next week, okay? Apologies for the delay, but it will be with you. And talking about t-shirts, and a big thanks to Yvonne. Yvonne, you just are the best. We're going to give away a t-shirt tonight. Yes, we are. Oh, our other guest, Chris. Say hello, Chris. Chris?
Yes. Is he behind you, Jace? I don't know. I'll look under my desk. He's not there.
He might be in my wardrobe. I can't open that on stream. No. Sorry, I can't. Yeah, can't do that.
No. Chris just can't be bothered to turn up, can he? He just can't be bothered to turn up. What can I say?
It's not easy being a diva, Jace. He pulls it off, though.
He pulls it off a lot from what I've heard. In any case, sorry. Into the strength of the game. John, no Aubameyang starting, no Ramsey. Is this a case of Unai just going with Iwobi for the form he's shown? Or is he still feeling out his squad and rotating the squad?
I think still on the, I'm not sure Ozil and Ramsey can play in the same starting lineup necessarily, depending on the opposition. And I know Leicester, 11th, 12th in the league. I think they're a better team than their league position says, so I think that's part of it. Iwobi, for me, on form, deserves to be in. And I think in flashes, you saw it tonight. Not consistently, because first half, I think the whole team, to be fair, were a little bit poor. I think also, you know, we're playing Thursday as well. We're away in Lisbon. Sunday again. We're playing Monday night. It's very close, tight, congested fixtures at the moment. So, bit of rotation doesn't surprise me. The only disappointing thing, obviously, is the fact that we didn't have, you know, no Kolasinac and no Nacho. Apparently, tight hamstring, so more of a precaution than anything else. So that's a little bit of a worry, but hopefully, it is just, you know, just saving them just in case, because Nacho's played a lot of games this season. But other than that, I thought the lineup was fine, you know. Oh, Jake Taylor, straight in. Thank you very much for the donation as well, Jake. Chat box, give Jake some love. Show him some love.
Jake, you're the man. You're the man, Jake.
Yeah, the Aubameyang thing's interesting. I think it's a case of Lacazette, for me, deserves the middle spot, but it's hard to drop Aubameyang. I get it, because he's, especially at home, his record is so good. But, he came on today and gave us a real boost. Oh, Will O'Brien. Oh, they're all at it tonight, Jace. Will O'Brien, thank you very much for the donation as well.
Oh. Yvonne Kofa, Jake Taylor, Will O'Brien. Oh, my God. That's a hat trick. Guys, you know, I keep on saying it. We really, really appreciate the support you give us. But sometimes you just go beyond and thank you ever so much. It's just fantastic. It's really, really appreciated.
That's Australian dollars, dollary dues, because that's got an name.
Yeah, I think it is. It's Aussie dollars.
Cheers, Jake. I'm busy typing as usual, so I didn't
that
say
means, hey, that means that I can emigrate out there now.
Oh, I'm going with you, Jace. We can live together. We can get cats and hold hands.
I think I'll stay in Cardiff. In any case, yeah, no, but you know, we got three games in 6 days, you know. I think as well, it's a matter of discipline in these positions. I think, you know, what we've really seen from Iwobi this season has been discipline in what he's done and real attacking prowess. You know, he's gone is the self-doubt. He's now just flowing with it, which has been really, really good to see. Danny, Leicester started very, very well.
They certainly did, and I was a bit worried at first because Leicester have got Schmeichel back in goal. He's missed quite a bit of the season already.
Whoa, stop. Sorry. I apologise. Jonas Segtenberg. Ah, mate, I don't know how much that's worth, but that's fantastic. Thank you ever so much. look his message here. Can't blame people for donating tonight, can you? Wait, what does this button do? Bingo.
From my knowledge of currencies of the world, that is Norwegian kroner.
And it's very, very much appreciated. Thank you ever so much. I tell you what, there's definitely a T-shirt going tonight.
And Kevin.
Sorry, Danny.
And Kevin's just sent some as well.
We just had Kevin Arenda and Nathan Young as well. thank you so much, guys. Seriously, it's fantastic.
What we're going to spend it on, if you saw our tweet early at half time, that's what we're going to spend it on, the shirts. And then we're going to be giving away the shirt that Jason and John are wearing. And then I'm working on with somebody else of doing Michael other Hahnemann. Special shirts.
Michael Hahnemann's just dropped in money as well. Oh my God, what are you doing to us? We can't take all this love.
They're making it all confusing.
J-Rob!
They're not going to get it all back anyway, aren't they?
We're never going to get to reviewing the game. Anybody who's watching live, I apologise. We've just got so many donations. Well, thank you so much, guys.
Genuinely, do you know what? I was really struggling this morning. I wasn't looking forward to doing tonight. And as much as the Arsenal cheer me up, you guys just blow my mind. I mean, Danny, make a note of everybody's name because I can't keep up with all this.
That's what I'm doing. I'm cutting and pasting and putting it into my little marsupial pouch. And I'm typing it all into my podcast notes for Thursday. So everybody who does this will get a special gentleman's nod on Thursday. Thank you very much, everybody. But yeah, we're just going to reinvest it in the show. We're going to go up the shirts that are them two away and we're giving them. We're going to give a shirt away tonight. And someone else we're working on. I can't say who does all of our wonderful gigs. It might be a secret. But we're working on other shirts as well.
Yeah, thank you so much, guys. I just can't believe it. Mika for Life is just Mika for Life is just piled in on it. Oh, Jesus wept. I'm going to retire stuff this. I'm just going to do this all the time.
That's when it starts to go wrong. Like I sometimes watch the Dr. Disrespect and people give him $100 at a time. And
Matsunassi's just gone in there.
Sometimes he doesn't even acknowledge that people are just giving him $100. $100.
He's only a real fireplace. Yeah. Oh, Chris Lodato's in.
Oh, Chris Lodato. Okay, like, stop. Stop.
Stop it. Keep your money. Keep your money, Jesus.
Yes, save your money, please. To all those who aren't watching live, there's a button on YouTube in the chat box which people donate to us, which has paid for our hosting fees and everything. Stephen Edwards! Oh, my God! Stephen Edwards has just piled in as well.
It's a shame, Tony. They shamed him like an episode of Game of Thrones. He's walking down the road, shamed.
We're 8 minutes into the show. We haven't got going yet because people just keep on giving us money. Wow.
We can chuck out a few of this towards Spurs to help them build their stadium. God, that's so nicky.
No, so everybody's just winding us up. Oh no, Hato Hansi's just knocked in with it.
Ooh, what is that? Oh, Jesus. Swedish.
I think a Swedish
krona.
Swedish, I think.
Yeah. I think Swedish krona. Right, okay. You're all wonderful. We'd so appreciate this, but we have to get on with this. George Constantino's just nailed us. This is getting ridiculous.
I think maybe we should give away more than one shirt, or just give away one at the next show as well.
We're going to give away one on the next show as well. George, Jesus wept. You guys are just legends. Thank you ever so much. Well.
Stephen, we read Stephen's. What did Chris Lodato? I've got to be nice to him because I'm in a WhatsApp group with him now for our fours, and he's got memory of a goat.
The McManus has just piled in. Alan Wilby's just piled in.
Oh, the McManus has said much love. Cheers, Mr. McManus. You're very kind.
Alan Wilby up the Arsenal. You're right. Okay.
No, I don't want to be a Grinch or anything. But, you know, we thank you so much for all the donations. But one, we do have to talk about the game because there are people who are going to listen to this later and we'll be very bored of this section.
Yeah.
And also, press the like button. The money. Press the like button. That's what we want.
Where's my likes? Tappy.
Yeah, exactly. Wait for that half time, okay? Guys, thank you ever so much. You're just amazing. We can give everybody a shout out later who's donated. The show is for you. It's all about you guys. It's not about any of us Muppets, that's for certain. So I'm a bit shocked, I'm a bit overawed, and you're just fantastic. So thank you. Back to the show. Daniel.
Hold on,
Jesus, wet. Daryl Kane, Emery Chubby, Marcus Hodges. You guys are just wind up merchants now.
Right, I'm getting with my point. Right, so thank you.
Bear with me a second. This is not children in need. Stop it. Stop giving us money.
I know a Daryl. Do I?
Danny, carry on.
Right, yeah, T-shirt, Jason's new hashtag, Tappy Tappy. Right, a few stats for you already. That is now 10 wins in a row. And the last time we had 10 wins in a row was in the Invincible season. And then in 13-14, but one of them was a penalty shootout. Our next target is 12 in a row, which we have done three times under Wenger, 07-08, 99-2000, and then in the double year of 98, although one of them was a penalty shootout. But the best that Wenger ever did was 13 in a row, which was 13, which was 11 from 01-02, from 2002-03, but one of those was a charity shield. So we've got three more games coming up, and I'm very confident that we can win all of those as well. But getting back to the game, yeah, they've had Schmeichel's been out most of the season, injured. Maguire is an England international and a hell of a player. I'm not sure why they went three at the back. I think if they'd have gone four at the back, then they'd have been more secure second half. For me, Maddison is one of their best players. He's someone who's just made it into the England squad. But they are suffering from some of their best players leaving. You've seen Mahrez go to Man City, and he's doing really well at Man City. So trying to replace the likes of Kante, Mahrez, and any of the others that might leave. But they've still got a decent team. But that people were saying, was that shitty defending from Bellerin? But you've got, if he'd have stood there and not done anything when he scored that own goal, people would have gone, he didn't do any defending. So he's tried to make a stoppage on the bloke, because he's got to be careful because it's in the area. And he's made a lunge shot and it's gone off his foot and gone in. Now, is that bad luck or is that shit defending? Personally, I think it's bad luck because at least he had a go.
It's a bit of bad luck, isn't it? Quick shout out, not a quick one, Daryl Kane. Daryl Kane's just chucked in $25, $24.99 to be precise. I like that a lot because that'll wind Danny up beyond belief. Okay,
he's like odd numbers.
Yeah, and he just says, you all deserve it. Once the game is finished, this is where I choose my poison. And to all of you listening, just, you know, we adore the fact that you join us. You know, you guys are just amazing. Danny, make sure you got everybody's name down. This is phenomenal. Thank you ever so much. Yeah, before we get to the Leicester goal, John, Leicester were well on top. They were out tactic. You know, Puyol got his tactics right. It was quite amazing to see how we were under pressure that first 30 minutes. And we were really, really lucky. Holden gets an early yellow card, and then it's a blatant penalty. His hand's up in the air. It clips the ball. The referee just doesn't give it. What was that all about? Sorry, before you answer that, Sean Munch. With this match scheduling, it's not like I'm going to the pub to watch it anyway. Might as well donate the cost of my pint. Ah,
thank you very much, mate.
$7 a pint. Rock. You're going to the wrong place, son.
Well, I don't know.
It doesn't go where Shreds goes.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it was £5 a pint where I was in the other weekend. Anyway, Holding was... Yeah, he didn't have the best of games. I thought Puyol did really well in the fact that although he was playing with two up top, he split them as almost as if they were playing wingers and made them play on the outside of the centre-backs and in between the full-backs, and it made it very, very difficult for Mustafi and Holding and our full-backs because they are naturally pushed up so high. So they were getting isolated a lot of the time. That handball, I'm not sure. I think in the rules, the referee doesn't have to give you a yellow card for handball in the box. He can still give a penalty.
You've got to there. His hand is way above his head.
Yeah, I mean, his hand's in the wrong position. Yeah, it's in the wrong position. So, I mean, they should have had a penalty. I think that's fair to say. But whether he gets a second yellow or not is down to the referee's discretion. The fact that he didn't get it, look, I thought, to be fair, at that point, we were pretty lucky because Leicester were the better team. They were really on top of us. We started slow again. I thought they pressed well and they exploited the space in behind Bellerin very well, as well behind Lichtsteiner, as I thought, who struggled tonight. They weren't getting much cover either. The fact they didn't get the penalty probably helped us because at 2-0, we could have been in a bit of trouble. But what I like about this team is at the moment that we really are responding. Sometimes it's taking us a little bit longer, but we are still responding. And when we get a goal back, we go in front, and even when we go in front now, we're not making sort of silly mistakes like we were. Fair play to Leicester. I think they're a decent team and they've got some good players, and I think their league position doesn't really say how good they are. And if I think it's one of those things that if you support the so-called smaller teams, you probably see those games as you don't get the rub of the green. Whereas maybe they're at home, then maybe they get the penalty. Maybe they get some decisions their way, that kind of thing.
You say we don't make stupid decisions, okay? We've had a go at Mustafi recently for going aground and giving away free kicks in silly positions. You had Xhaka, who had a bit of a tough time at times tonight.
Yeah, no, I
give away a really stupid free kick. Edge of the box.
That one came from frustration of giving the ball away. And then I think, he was beat. He was well done by Maddison. I think he knew he was beat, and it's one of those where I don't mind giving free kicks away. I think Holding did his yellow card was sensible, the one he took on Iheanacho, because Iheanacho was just going to blitz past him, and he was basically near enough one-on-one, so you take that. Xhaka's one was a bit stupid. I don't think he had a great game tonight, but I thought the first 30 minutes, to be honest, no one in an Arsenal shirt did particularly well other than Bernd Leno.
Thank you.
I thought was really, really good tonight. Made some great saves.
Saved us. If it wasn't for his performances in the first half, I think the second half would have been a lot different.
Yeah.
And I'm going to come to that, Dan. We talk about Leno. A few of the old ITKs were saying sort of 5 or 6 games in that apparently people weren't impressed with Leno at the club, that they don't think that's what that he was as good as made out. Since he's come into the team, he's been very, very impressive. Today, definitely, he kept us in the game. Unlucky with the goal, as was Hector. But bit of a performance from him tonight, wasn't it?
Leno.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought, to make sure you haven't talked about something else. Yeah, it's always been weird in my time at Arsenal because you had... back in the day, you had Jennings, and Jennings was taken over by Lukic, and that was quite a big move because Jennings is a real old school player. And then Lukic, Seaman took over from Lukic as roughly. I mean, you've had a few players in between, and when Seaman took over from Lukic, they were kind of the same similar era. But now, when Petr Cech took over from Szczesny, that was like, for me, that was almost a kind of a step back into the old way of the way goalkeeping was done. And now this change here has been absolutely magnificent because Leno is the future of goalkeeping. We've all seen that the bloke who's the Bayern Munich goalkeeper, like he plays like goalkeeper sweeper at times.
Neuer.
Yeah, I always got to say Oliver Kahn, but that's not him. Yeah, Manuel Neuer, because you never go full Neuer. But Manuel Neuer is the ideal figure of what a modern goalkeeper should be. Someone who does play a little bit of sweeper, as long as he's not playing left wing in the World Cup, he should be all right. But the but seeing Leno come in and doing so well, that's going to be down to his time at his previous club. That's going to be down to the new goalkeeping. It's going to be down to Cech helping him out. And I think with that, with all this stuff, everything is heading right for us in the goalkeeping department. And if Leno is dropped again and Cech comes back in, I'll be perfectly happy about that. And I think Leno would probably be happy about that as well. He's going to be acceptance at this season. It's not all going to be about him. It's a learning curve for him, the club, the defenders, and for us. And it's absolutely brilliant to see someone so confident in goal. And when someone's attacking, I don't think, oh, well, God, here we go. It's going to go all Almunia again. I think, yeah, this will probably be all right.
Okay, question for both of you. On Leno's form to date, if Cech is fit tomorrow, does Leno keep the number one jersey, yes or no?
Leno keeps it for me right now, yeah.
No, I would put Cech back in as Premier League keeper and put Leno back as the other games, because you can't have Leno playing every three games a week. I mean, I know he's a goalkeeper, it's a bit easier. What about you, Jace?
Leno takes over Premier League duties and Cech goes into Europa League. Simple as that. I think he's earned the spot so far. You know, it's all a matter of opinions and it's going to be a long season. But, you know, I think Leno has been pretty brilliant so far. He's going to have a ricket in him. We know that every keeper does, so let's lay off him when it does happen. But I think there's been some really, really good saves. I think he's marshalled his box well. I think his playing out from the back, a commentator on my stream, second half said, terrible clearance there. But the pass goes straight to the man.
Yeah.
Through the attacking man. I think it was meant. Yeah. And I think the thing with it is,
Jace, that I think the majority of fans, you know, if you put Cech in or you put Leno in goal, I don't think anyone would really have too much of an issue with either, which is a good place to be. I think everyone agrees, you know, Leno is the better with the ball at his feet, and I think his passing is better. Everyone knows that, and perhaps that makes the defence a little bit more comfortable when they're playing it back. But I think Cech, with his experience and, you know, when he comes out to claim a ball, I'm more confident when Cech comes out from to go and get across from a corner. Whereas Leno, a couple of times tonight, you know, he was a little bit kind of caught in no man's land. But either one in goal for me, I'm very happy with at the moment.
Well, I mean, it's one of those things, you know, it wouldn't bother me which one's in goal, but I think Leno's earned the opportunity now. Earned it. So on to the goal, John. Danny's spoken about already. You know, it had been coming for the first 30 minutes. Leicester were by far the better team.
Yeah.
We looked horrendous. There was only Leno who was looking with any shape on him. I thought Mustafi did well today. But is Hector unlucky? What's your thoughts?
I don't necessarily think it's Hector's fault. His positioning seems fine. I think it's a really good touch by Chilwell. The way he opens it up for the space to run into. It's a very smart ball in as well. Carragher did some coverage on it at half-time, was talking about how Vardy was about to receive the ball and said, no, like, Chilwell's in the space. And I just think it was a very good touch. And Hector just gets unlucky. He stays with his man. You can't go to ground because you're in the box. So he's sensible, stays on his feet, and he tries to get a block on it. You know, and I think he's done everything right there. The thing I would question is, at that point in the game, we were still being overrun, particularly wide and by their wing backs. excuse me. And we hadn't adjusted to it still. You saw Lacazette coming into the picture very late, like tracking Chilwell at first. Now, it's fine if you're all moving positions and stuff, but why is Lacazette tracking? Why, you know, should it not have been Mkhitaryan? But is Mkhitaryan covering in the middle because Ozil was out on the left-hand side? And
well, it all starts. Ozil doesn't put a challenge in on the halfway line, so the man moves free, and Ozil just stops.
Yeah,
and regardless of his performance after that point, okay, it was another example of gutless defending from him. Okay, it's, and no excuses for it.
Yeah, and the thing Yeah. Oh, Sam Roof, thank you very much for the donation.
We've got Jesus wrecked. Thank you so Sam much. Roof, you're a legend.
Thank you, Sam. That box show, Sam, some love. God, dear. I'm getting lost with it tonight. I don't want to blame the team too much because I just think that Leicester just outplayed us for the first 30 minutes. I agree.
You know what? That's fair. Bear with me a second. That's fair. But I didn't think we put any pressure on them on the ball up top. So, you know, for argument's sake, the full backs are up high. Yeah. Okay. So the centre backs have got no cover whatsoever. So that's the reason for Holding picking up an early yellow and the pressure coming on him.
Yeah.
Mustafi handled himself really well tonight, I thought. Torreira and Xhaka weren't in the game, and neither was anybody else for the first 30 minutes ahead of them. And we weren't putting pressure on anybody on the ball.
I think the thing with that is, like you say, Leicester very smartly, I thought, for at least the first 30 minutes anyway, they basically avoided the centre of the pitch at times with the ball. Like Ndidi and Mendy were picking it up, and he was instantly used the width, used Vardy and used Iheanacho, who were essentially playing almost as wingers, not really as strikers. Madison was the one who was central, but they were almost playing with a front three and then using those wingbacks and just exploiting that space. And it kind of just took Xhaka and Torreira out the game. I thought Xhaka had a very poor first half. Torreira was okay, but he didn't really do a lot. But I think it was because he wasn't sure who he's picking up. Because he's looking at Madison, and sometimes he was getting him, other times he wasn't. He doesn't know. He's looking and going, well, the centre halves haven't really got a striker to deal with, so maybe they're supposed to be picking up Madison. And I just think, all in all, it's disappointing where we lose the ball and it turns over, and there's enough time for us to get into shape. But I don't think there's anything wrong with what Hector did, and I just think it's a bit of bad luck from the deflection, and I just think it's a really good touch from Chilwell and a really good run from him. And he showed tonight why we were looking at him previously to when he joined Leicester and four.
He was superb. The disappointing part is, you know, it shows the importance of putting pressure on, you know, at the point of the attack at the start of it. Okay, you know, Ozil's got to make more of an effort there. You can't just stand there and watch him go past. But the reaction post the goal was superb from the whole team, to be fair. Yeah. Danny, we really started to come into the game after that. And it led to the Ozil goal. Everybody's tapping on about the finish. Thought the finish was decent. But I'd expect a player of his quality to finish that. But the movement and the lead-up to the goal was magnificent. Talk to me.
Yeah, I was saying just before, maybe about five, I was talking to Herb Gooner on Twitter, and I was saying it's magnificent that Leicester, they don't know whether the ball's going to come down the left side, the right side, through the middle, whether it's going to come over as a cross, whether it's going to be along the floor. And they've got to be thinking, they haven't, and I know Pereira and, Chilwell, they were kind of covering at times to try and make it a back five. And Maguire was running around with his huge big head trying to header everything out of the way, and I think he did really well. But then I think Bellerin was probably a little bit angry or disappointed or wanted to show that he has got more to his game than just than giving away that own goal. Because, I mean, I still rate Bellerin. I still think he's fantastic. And for me, he's our number one. But the way that Ozil made that magnificent run and then put it out to Bellerin, and I thought, well, you're not always going to think that Bellerin is going to put it back in. And if you'd have played that frame by frame, you'd have gone, well, what's Bellerin going to do with that ball? Is he going to give it back to Ozil? That wouldn't have been any of my first three or four choices of what I think he might do. But that pinpoint pass from Bellerin, from Ozil to Bellerin, and then Bellerin back to Ozil, it's almost as if they worked on it. And then him to place it in the left-hand side of the left-hand side of the goal, just coming off of the post. And I remember in the replay, you looked at Schmeichel, and Schmeichel had gone to go for it and gone, that's going wide. Oh, God, no, it's not. It's hit the post and gone in. That was, for me, one of my favourite goals in probably all season, only because of the build-up for Ozil, and it was just magnificent for it. And it's really nice to see team goals like that. And we're scoring from everywhere. We're all players from all over the pitch are scoring, and that is a sign of a great team. We're not relying on one player to score our goals for us, although Aubameyang is doing his best with eight in our last 10 games. It's just an absolute joy.
It is. And talking of absolute joys, after Sam Ruth piles in with some more money, Daryl Kane piles in with another donation and the comment, Emery synopsis, don't predict the lineup. Emery Chubby. Oh, Jesus wept. I can't handle all these donations. What's going on? Thank you, guys. It's absolutely amazing.
You know why? It's because Dom isn't on. That's what all the donations are for. I may have only just said that because Dom's popped up in the chat, but you know.
But, you know, I'm not being funny, okay? You know, I'm just in a bit of shock at the moment. I can't believe what's happened tonight. It's bonkers. I thought the game was great, but this is phenomenal. So, yeah, you know, that last 15 minutes, John, we were well on top. All of a sudden, you saw the impetus changed, and we'd gotten to grips with them, and it we started to look like the team that smashed Fulham.
Yeah, absolutely. The attitude of the team changed. Actually, funny enough, bringing up Dom, talking to him at halftime, and I was saying about, oh, we started slow again. Isn't it frustrating? But, you know, we got the goal back, and it's great to get the equaliser. And he said, sometimes maybe we do need that wake up. And it's weird. And as soon as that goal went in against us, the team just, like, I don't know, they did. They just woke up and just put the pressure on. They started pressing higher, trying to win the ball higher up the pitch, you know, and forcing errors from Leicester, which we hadn't done at any point into the game. And, you know, credit Leicester. I thought they played very well up to that point. But then, to be honest, the majority of the rest of the game, I thought we outplayed them. They had a little spell for 5 minutes, maybe in the second half. But after their goal went in, we just completely turned it on. And it's so nice now that I'm not quite there yet, but I'm almost at the point of, even if we go a goal down, I'm not freaking out anymore. Like last season and a couple of seasons before that, I'd be like, oh, this is going to be like 3-0. It's going to be an embarrassment. You know, like the Palace away one or whatever last season, that dreadful game. Was that last season? I can't remember. Or was it West Brom? Whoever it was awful. Let's forget about it. This season's great. But now I'm like, even if we go down, I'm like, okay, no, it's fine. Team can reorganise. Team can do things. You know, we're better in second halves. We have been like near enough every game this season. Emery seems to do something at half time. I think there is, you know, there's some truth in what Dom says about the fitness level of the team. We do seem a lot fitter than when we started at the start of the season. We seem to be able to go for longer and other teams seem to struggle. So I just like the attitude. It's so different around, you know, just I haven't been to the ground yet this season, but you can just feel it just from watching on the TV, right? From the fans to the way everyone's talking about on Twitter, from the players, from when you see all this behind the scenes training, everything just seems so much more positive. And it doesn't matter if we suffer a setback, we can start, go again, get ourselves back into it and go on to win the game. And it's just so refreshing now to see that.
Absolutely, absolutely. So that's the first half. Quick couple of shout-outs. Nexus one, I've missed you as well. I've missed you. Make no bones about it. Thunder Road went bilingual earlier on. Cheeky chappy. Very cheeky chappy, cheeky git. I won't say what he said, but how dare he? Now, Rob Vapes has just taken the words right out of my mouth. So we got 300 plus people watching, okay? And I've only got 97 likes. What is wrong with you? You should be ashamed of yourselves.
Except for Daryl Kane, who's just donated again.
Oh, Jesus, went.
Last one. Love what you all do. Love the chat. New York City. Thank you, Daryl. Seriously. If you're in New York, contact Daryl and sort out going to a game, and we want some pictures and stuff. We can put it on, stick it up on our Facebook or Twitter or something like that. Yeah,
dude, all right.
We'll put it up on the Instagram page that we don't have it for either. Jesus,
we have an Instagram. Like, we just don't use it.
Exactly. I know, but that's the point, isn't it? You know. So come on, come on. 105. That's not good enough. Who do you think you are? You're behaving like spuds. You're behaving like Tottenham fans. Stop messing about. I want 150 now. Let's go. Let's rock. Tappy, tappy. Let's go.
Tappy, tappy for a happy taffy. There you go.
Yeah, that's right. You'd be ashamed of yourselves. Bloody 100. You know, who do you think we are? I honestly, boys, I'm going to lose my rag with these lunatics. Sorry. I can't keep a straight face anymore. Zidane, second half, we were out of the blocks really quickly. Really good start. We had Mkhitaryan have a miss. We did have a little blip with the DD hitting the bar, but you know, we took control of that second half very early doors, didn't we?
Yeah, are we talking pre or post the substitutions?
Pre the substitutions. I'm going to come on to the substitutions in a second.
Yeah, we certainly did. It was the, I remember in the olden days, whatever manager it was, if we were losing, I'd think, oh, this is going to be a bit of a struggle. But then remember in the early days of Wenger, when we went down to 10 and occasionally 9 men, most teams would go, oh dear, shut up shop, we're in trouble here. We'd go, no, we're Arsenal. It's going to make it more of a challenge. We don't care. You take down 8 men, we're going to have you. And the number of times that we'd be down to 10 and 9 men, and then we'd go on and win the game, and we'd go on and play magnificently. And then that kind of stuff will build our reputation during the game, after the game. And now people, I mean, for future games, and now people will see that performance there, 1-0 down with an unlucky own goal. We score at the worst time for the opposition to concede a goal is just before half-time, go in at 1-1, and then everyone knows, right, Emery's going to make some changes. Stuff is going to get said. Stuff is going to get done. And, you know, coming out second half, you better watch out, because he has seen where your weaknesses are and where our strengths are. And he amplifies all of that lot. And he's picking it apart. I'd love to hear one of his halftime talks to see what he does, whether he's giving players individual pointers or whether he's saying to people like Bellerin, don't worry, that was a blip. Just go on there, carry on doing what you're doing. A little bit disappointed with Mkhitaryan. I think, yet again, he hasn't had much to the game. Iwobi deserves a mention because that boy has turned his career around. I know a few of us used to get really annoyed with Iwobi because we could all see the talent he's got. Like, we could all
there's,
see...
There's
the
a question coming up about him later, mate. There's a question coming up later.
Okay, I'll shut up about that.
Let's save that because I think he deserves a lot of credit, but... It's still early doors. So we'll answer that in the question a little later.
Yeah.
But you know, you saw some real drive from this team. You saw some real attacking prowess. You know, that determination, that self-belief, it's there in abundance, isn't it?
It is. It's fantastic. And it's something that I'm surprised Jesus, that we've wept. Oh, they haven't given us more money, have they?
They've given us more bloody money.
Oscar, you cheeky monkey.
Oscar Arias, oi, oi, drop a like cheeky you monkeys. Drop a like, you cheeky monkeys, sorry.
Oscar is
yes,
a cheeky
I've
monkey.
Only 119 likes. Oscar's right. I've only 119 likes. What's going on? What is going on?
You see what we have to put up with?
Honestly, God, okay? I'm not being funny, okay? If you were in church, okay, right now, okay, you'd all be burning up. It's disgraceful.
Even if we had 1,000, he'd still want more.
That's call yourself Arsenal. call yourselves Arsenal fans. My ass. Come on, let's rock.
Yes, I said all I needed to say. It's just it was just really good that yet again we've done it. I mean, how many times this season have we been losing at halftime or even drawing at halftime, and he's gone in there and we have been. It's that old adage, isn't it? It's a game of two halves. I don't like to use football cliches, but it really is, under Emery, it is a game of two halves. You were going to see an improvement nearly every single time in the second half.
Let me a second. Sorry, pal. Yeah. Enes Omer, if you're spamming my chat box, this is your one and only warning. You'll be out, fella. Watch yourself. Sorry, carry on.
I'm finished, yeah.
Ah, good. Yeah, so in any case, John... the changes come. Mkhitaryan goes off.
Tom's giving us money.
Tom's giving our Jesus. Oscar Arias, thank you. Dom Nusk, you really shouldn't. Oh, for pity's sake.
Canadian dollars, was that real money? Maybe he's given us that because he wants the dollary dues that we got earlier.
That's like £1 million.
It's you might have missed it,
it's
Dom.
£1 million.
But we had, who was it? It was Will O'Brien gave us $5 dollary dues.
Didn't we mention Will O'Brien?
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Oh, thank God for that. Sorry. I can't keep her. I don't know what's going on. This is just unbelievable. So in any case, the changes come. Lichtsteiner and Mkhitaryan off. Guendouzi and Aubameyang on. Xhaka dropping into left back. But all of a sudden, it just kicks off, doesn't it?
Yeah. OG actually asked me about Xhaka and if I'd seen him play left back in Germany, and I don't remember seeing it. I remember seeing him play left mid once before, but I don't think I saw him at left back. If anyone, you feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. I didn't see all of his games, but he was still fairly high, like Lichtsteiner was. But I think the idea behind it was, you know, Mkhitaryan wasn't having the best of games. I think that's fair to say. And by keeping, you know, Lichtsteiner, I thought, struggled a little bit, hadn't really influenced the game that much. By keeping Xhaka on, although he's obviously playing out of position, you've still got one of your better passers on the pitch. And I think having that option there and the fact he can hit those big diagonals, especially out to, you know, Iwobi, who then obviously switched to the right-hand side, I thought it was great. Aubameyang just terrified their back line. And what it also did as well was prevented them coming down our left-hand side. Rob Vapes, thank you so much for the donation. Danny, you've got to keep the hat on for the rest of the season now.
It's actually pink and it's got a bobble and I'm like a stripper. I can make you do that.
But yeah, no, I think the threat of Aubameyang really neutralised that side of Leicester's attack, and they were coming down our left-hand side so much. It held back their fullback, who's was it Amati coming down that side, wasn't it? And Pereira as well was causing some problems down there. So I do think it solidified that. the fact that you also had Guendouzi's energy as well to get across and help in the wide positions, we just controlled and we could dictate the tempo more. And Ozil just turned it on. I was absolutely slamming him, chat. I'm not going to lie. I was slamming him up until we scored the goal. I even said about the goal because I was just annoyed and in a mood with him at that point. I was like, nah, it's not a great finish. He's only 8 yards out. Well, what's he done? Kicked a ball straight. Well done. 300 grand for that. Blah, blah, blah. Because I was in a bad mood. And, you know, I'm not a big Ozil fan. But he just, wow, he just went to another level. And that's why, yeah, I get annoyed with him. Because when you see him do that, that's what I want to see all the time. That's what I want to see in every game. I want to see Ozil get the ball, make those amazing passes, see all, you know, take the space and everything else. It's just that ball for Bellerin for the run. And then, you know, and the square across for Aubameyang, who just had, what was it, 2 minutes he was on the pitch and then goal, I think, from his substitution. Just
it's might be seconds, isn't it?
He came on in the 61st minute and scored in the 63rd minute, John. You're
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. He just, I don't know what it was. And that's why I get frustrated with Ozil, because he can do those things in a game which very few people can. And then other times you just see him and you just think, what are you doing? Are you not bothering tonight? But as soon as we went the one goal down, he stepped it up. He started making the passes. You know, his little flicks were coming off. He was tracking back as well a lot harder. You know, he was pressuring players. He was winning fouls as well when he needed to. And yeah, it was brilliant. And it's one of the best performances I've seen him put in an Arsenal shirt. It was great. That ball for Hector, I could watch that over and over again. I'd never get bored of seeing that. It was beautiful. That was like peak Dennis. That was, you know, when you see Bergkamp pick up the ball and you'd see Dixon or, you know, whoever running down, Jungberg, Pires. And as soon as the ball left Bergkamp's foot, you knew it was going to be exactly perfect weight that it just dropped into their path. And that was what that was, that ball from Ozil tonight for Hector. It was so good.
Yeah, look, I think, you know, I think you saw him lift his game so much. And, you know, there was some beautiful link-up play. The first goal, as I say, the ball for Hector. You've got to give Hector... Oh, Daryl Kane, not again. Jesus wept. Daryl Kane's just dropped another donation. Lay off the sauce, Daryl. Keep away from the beer. Stop it.
Is he the one who's giving it for all instead of buying beers?
I don't know what the hell is
going on. No, that was... Oh, I can't remember who that was now. God.
It was Sean Birch. I remember it was $7. Jace, have you read what I've just put in the window?
No.
In the chat box. Have a little look.
Sorry. Oh, yeah, we'll do that later.
Okay.
We'll do that later.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank Josh for that.
Yeah. Cheers, pal. Well done, Josh. You know... The level that Mesut can play at, we don't see often enough. You saw in the first half for that Leicester goal, you saw all too often what he's delivered on the pitch at times for the Arsenal. And then you can see what he's capable of. And it is just so beautiful to watch. It is so phenomenally good. He plays at such a higher level than any other player in this team. And you know, I've loved Lacazette this season. I've loved Aubameyang's goals. You know, I've enjoyed a lot of performances this season. But when you watch that from Mesut, you just think, come on, you know, a little bit more consistency.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, we're challenging. Okay, we may not be challenging City, but we can sure as hell surprise the likes of United and the likes of Chelsea. But that is reliant on Mesut Ozil turning up. And over the last 2 to 3 seasons, he hasn't.
Yeah, and that's the issue. I think that's the difference with this team is if you get a consistent Ozil every week, I think realistically, just because the league is so much more competitive with City and Liverpool, I think there's a very good argument, and Chelsea, to be fair, I think there's a good argument we could get third.
Yeah.
Well, you know, at least.
Let's look at the goal anyway, the first goal. Okay, so it's a magic ball from Mesut, okay, to Hector. But to be fair to Hector Bellerin, he gets a lot of stick. But that boy is up and down that flank all game long. He's up and down that flank.
Up and down like a barmaid's knickers.
Oh, unbelievable, okay? And he smells better, okay? But, you know, it's a great cross and a lovely finish from Aubameyang. I mean, Danny, all of a sudden, did you think from that point, you know, that's it, we're just going to run away with this?
Herb predicted just after half time, he predicted 3-1. And I said, I think that's a fair prediction. But with Lacazette missed what, 2 sitters? Ozil could have had another one. That Leicester team, that showed why their manager isn't, Claude Puel, isn't going to be in that job for much longer, because he didn't seem to inspire the players in the second half. It must have been so hard for
that's
him
a
to.
Bit harsh.
I don't think he inspired them at all. I didn't like him when he was at Southampton. I don't like him as a manager at Leicester. I think he was at Southampton. I don't rate him as a manager. I think he was just a short-term manager in both cases. Well, I think if Chris was here, he'd probably tell us, but I think he might have managed Lyon back in the day when they won some of their titles. I think he might.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I don't care.
But he did try and make one bit of substitution. I'm just looking here in the... He took
Aubameyang thing came on.
Yeah, he took off Iheanacho and bought on Albrighton. I think Albrighton is a defender, and I think he tried to shore it up a little bit. And then later on, he brought off Pereira and brought on Gazella.
Okazaki.
Yeah.
And Okazaki came on.
Okazaki was more of an attacking one, I think. But it must have been really hard. But the whole of our players, I'm thinking, you were just saying that Bellerin gets a lot of grief. I don't think we currently have a boo boy in the team. With Bellerin getting those 2 assists and being one of the goals of the season, Ozil really, really on form the last handful of games. Xhaka is now seeing what he can really do now that he's paired with someone like Torreira who can do the defensive stuff. I don't think there's anybody in the team. I mean, when was the last time anybody said anything negative about Mustafi?
Last week.
I probably had a go at him.
That's all in the past.
And Ramsey's ego's out of control. You know, what can we say?
You're the only one who says that.
Ridiculous, isn't it? It's absolutely ridiculous.
It's too good. It needs to stop, Jace. We can't have this.
But, you know, it was a fantastic goal. And then 2 minutes later, there's just one of the most beautiful passages of football I've seen since the Fulham game. You know, just the quality of the interplay between Hector, Mesut, Lacazette, and Aubameyang for that goal was just phenomenal, John.
Yeah, just loved everything about it. Again, Mesut instigating it, getting involved, and then getting the final touch. Just the casual little flick outside of the boot. Aubameyang in the right place. I feel a little bit for Lacazette tonight. He had one very good chance he should have at least, you know, done better with. Schmeichel did well, but I don't know. Another night Laka would have scored that. But as soon as Aubameyang comes on, he scores the first goal, and 2 minutes later he scored a second. He's probably looking around at his teammates going, are you going to pass me the ball in that position? But, you know, I like the fact that the team has that. You know, Lacazette doesn't have to always have the best game ever.
Bear with me a second. I thought Lacazette played quite well from 30.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I don't think he had a bad game. Yeah, I don't think he had a bad game at all. I think he was a bit too isolated in the start of the game. But, yeah, it's great link-up. It's great movement, awareness. I mean, there was other times in the game, especially when Aubameyang came on, where him and Lacazette did little link-ups and it didn't quite come off. But just their awareness of where each other want to be.
Yeah.
They have that understanding. Ozil seems to have developed that with the pair of them as well. Hector, as you say, had a really good game tonight, in particular going forwards. And yeah, it's just a joy to watch at the moment. Like, first 30 minutes, I was not happy at all. And I was like, oh, I've waited all weekend. We're playing on a poxy Monday night, you know, and it was like, we're 1-0 down. I'm like, oh, I've got to do the radio afterwards. This is going to be miserable. I'm already moaning about this player and that player and that player. And then boom, you know, 35 minutes, all turns around and it's great. I look forward to watching games now all the time. And even if we're struggling a little bit, it gets to half time, I'm excited to see the second half, because I know it's not going to be the same, because I know Emery is going to do something about it. He's going to change something. And to be honest, I was a little surprised he didn't make a substitution at half time, because he's done that quite a lot. He left it a little bit, you know, he delayed a little.
I think switching Mkhitaryan and Iwobi was that change that he made. Yeah. You know, I don't think he needed to make a personnel change. I think that was a very important, you know, tactical piece of tactical nous from him. And all of a sudden, you know, I mean, I felt for Leicester second half. They were so under the cosh. They couldn't get the ball off us. The patterns of play we used going forward at times, I mean, it summed up in that third goal, were phenomenal. Do you mean those little pieces of interplay? And as in from the Fulham game, where, you know, you saw different players taking part in something like that, you see so many different players who can contribute to that. We were excellent. And I don't think Leicester's league position flatters them. I don't think they're a bad team. I just think they're a team that's struggling at the moment. They put up a good fight for the first 30 minutes, but all of a sudden we went into overdrive. You saw Torreira and Guendouzi really dominate that midfield, and, you know, Xhaka come in and play some important passes late in that second half. But the movement from the guys up top, and you know, we will come on to Iwobi later, but his discipline on that right-hand side to cover, oh, bloody hell, Daryl Kane. Again. Stop giving us money. Stop it. Thank you, but stop it. It's really not needed. But thank you very much. You're bonkers. You know, that discipline he showed on the right-hand side really showed it up for us.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it allowed us to play.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, you know, we'll go on. Ozil went off to a standing ovation, and rightly so.
Yeah.
Really deserved that. Mezet, a bit of consistency, please, and I will love you forever. I'd love you anyway, but...
I mean, I was laughing at him having the captain's armband tonight, but that was a captain's performance. That was an actual captain's performance. And we haven't seen, not just from Mezet, I mean, just from players at the club in general, we haven't seen enough of those sort of things. And I was like, afterwards, I was like, yeah, fair enough. You absolutely deserve to wear the armband tonight. And if you keep doing that, then, yeah, you get to keep it. Fair play.
Yeah, and that's all you're looking for, you know, is that consistency from him, because he's such a beautiful footballer, you know.
I think that, you know, as well, when Mezet plays well, I mean, the team just, like, it sings. It's beautiful to watch, and I think it just gives everyone the confidence. You can see, like, Iwobi didn't start the game great, but then Ozil starts playing better, and all of a sudden Iwobi's going, oh, well, I'm going to nutmeg you, I'm going to spin around this geezer, I'm going to muscle two of you off, and then I'm going to go in a completely different direction, and you're not going to know where I've gone with the ball. And he did some amazing skills and footwork tonight, but up until that point, he wasn't playing great. You know, it's just...
It's nothing. It's his vision.
Yeah.
First 30 minutes, he's losing the ball. The amount of turnovers, there must have been about 5 or 6 there. And all of a sudden, a movement off the ball improves. You know, we start to control the ball a bit. And you just see him flourish. Yeah. And when he's in that kind of mood and he's got that, the bit between his teeth, he's a joy to watch. You know, he really is. And it's typical Arsenal football, you know. This is the sort of thing you saw under... And in Arsene, you know, many years ago, it was inspiring to watch. So let's wrap the game up before we go to questions. Dan,
yes,
happy with that performance?
Absolutely delighted. You have to take certain things from certain games. We've come back from being 1-0 down again. Mesut Ozil has continued his run of being fantastic. The 5 captains thing, that's working. because you never know who's going to be the captain, and it seems to maybe inspire that person a little bit. Like John was saying, Iwobi is watching Ozil, and Ozil's doing magic, and then Iwobi's going to go, oh, I'm infected by this. I'm going to do a little bit of magic. Let's just hope that it rubs off onto the likes of Mkhitaryan. Xhaka and Torreira in the middle, perfect. Don't touch it. Don't need to do anything with it. Lacazette, even though he played most of the game, he missed a couple of sitters, and he wasn't doing a Galas sitting in the halfway line having a cry and other people coming up to him and giving him a little bit of a pat. Bellerin made an error at the beginning, but more than made up with that and showed magnificent work down that right hand side. Leno holding Mustafi together as a three, I thought they were really, really good. Lichtsteiner, I think it's only his first Premier League start for us, and playing at left back. I know he played at left back for us against Man City when Maitland-Niles went off, but I don't think that's something you've got to worry about, because Maitland-Niles is going to be back soon. Kolasinac is our backup, and plus we've got a game on Thursday and a game on Sunday, so no one, the lineups are going to be completely different in those games as well. And yet again, Emery has come in, seen what needs to be done, and gone and done it, and we've won the game. That's 10 in a row. Absolutely fantastic.
John?
I mean, just look, keep getting the results, keep getting the wins. That's all I care about at the moment. The performances are getting better. There's still things to sort out. I still think defensively there are some issues from set plays and stuff like that. But if he keeps getting 3 points, then, you know, no one's going to care. And if you get to get 3 points plus see some of the quality of the goals that we scored tonight, then look, I've got no complaints. I think Emery kind of had a bit of a, not a complete free roll, but it's kind of got a free roll anyway up until like Christmas time. And he's done really, really well. Daryl Kane, stop. Daryl, we really appreciate it. We do. Stop. Save your money, mate. Seriously, save your money. Oh.
What's he giving us now? Oh, he's done it again. Recommendation, involve fans who donate, not me. You can't do it. You can't say, here's a message, don't read it out.
Oh, Jesus. Right, Alonzo Spencer's thought about a question while at the pub. Well, get it in the box, Alonzo. Before, it is fantastic. 10 Premier League wins in the trot, let alone the other wins.
No, games in the trot, not Premier League.
Sorry, games in the trot. Yeah. Sorry.
People pick up on that and they'll give us a thumbs down.
Oh, we've got five already. Talking of thumbs down, I got five thumbs down. That's great. I don't mind the thumbs down. I really don't. But I've only got 140 thumbs up. Now, excuse me, the deal is 150 thumbs up. Let's rock. Come on. Tappy, tappy. Let's get going. I'm not a happy bunny at the moment. And it's been such a nice evening as well. Sam Ruth, you get so Jesus wept. Sam Ruth has just piled in again with another donation. Right, somebody watch the donations, please. Oh, Jesus. I can't keep up with all this. This is going to send me loopy.
We're going to get to the point soon, Jay, so you're going to have to take your socks and shoes off to be able to count it all up.
I gave up counting it for a while. Okay, first question to you, Daniel. Junior Gunner asks a serious question and had this idea way before today. Would you guys take Ben Chilwell as we've been linked to him in the last 3 years?
What position does he play in? I know on tonight he played on the left-hand side, but what's his actual best position, would you say?
He's a left-back normally. But yeah, he can play left-back or like wing-back.
I was actually thinking about this last night when I was watching the Everton game, and I thought, if we want someone as a backup left-back, Leighton Baines is kicking his heels at Everton. The manager doesn't fancy him, does he? And
he's 44.
Bless him. I remember when we were playing Wigan in the League Cup at Highbury, and they beat
us.
There was a bloke sat next to me, and he was a Wigan fan, and all he kept shouting was Leighton Baines for England, and he eventually got told to shut up and was dragged off by a steward. But that went on for an hour. So left back. Yeah, because we don't really have anybody at the club who's a proper left back apart from Cohen Bramall, who isn't really getting many games and anything at the moment. So we do need a proper left back, because Kolasinac is a left wing back, and it doesn't seem that very often we're going to play with a left wing back. And I don't think has Kolasinac got what it takes to become a left back rather than a left wing back? I'd say no.
I don't know. Since he's been at the club defensively, he's looked shaky. He's great going forwards. And if that's all Emery wants, then fine. But I do think there's an argument for definitely getting in a... I don't want to buy a prospect, and I'm not sure Chilwell's sort of like, he's better than a prospect, but he's not quite the finished article. But I would, I mean, if he was available, I'd take him, but he just signed a 6-year deal, and plus he's English, so it's like ridiculous money. But we were looking at him before, but someone like that, he's definitely somewhat, that type of player is the sort of thing I would be looking at.
See this, Junior Gunner, yes, we take him. You look great tonight. Great going forward. Defensively, he looks okay. I take him, no problem. Yvonne Nicole first, kicks it all off. Yvonne, you started madness tonight. It's your fault. It is your fault.
Ah, Corey Austin's turned up. Corey!
Corey! somebody look out for Alonso's question as well, please. Yep. Joshua Page asks, John, would you take Ndidi as a Ramsey replacement?
I don't think he's... I don't think they're the same sort of player. If you want a midfielder who's going to be more defensively disciplined, indeed he can get forwards, and obviously you saw he was a very real threat in the box from set pieces tonight. He hit the crossbar. But I do like him. I really like Ndidi. I'm not sure we need a centre mid right now, is the one thing I would say. We've got Xhaka. Guendouzi, obviously, we're developing. Torreira's obviously just come in. I still think there's an outside chance that maybe the club goes back and talks to Ramsey again. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see about that. And also, I think everyone's kind of forgotten a little bit about Maitland-Niles. I know he's played fullback a lot, but for me, he's a centre mid. He is a proper centre midfielder. Definitely. And I think the boy's got real talent. And we've also got Emil Smith-Rowe. I know he's a bit more attacking. So I think there's a lot there. So I like Ndidi. I think he's a good player. I just don't think it's what necessarily we need right now. But I see the point of the question, though. I think if Ramsey does definitely go, then I would like to see what his possible wages could have been possibly spent on. I think left back is one area, and I think a wide player of some sort. Although a certain young man named Reece Nelson is tearing it up in the Bundesliga at the moment, 4-4. He's having a great time out there. So he's got a good argument for when he comes back for maybe getting in the team.
Tell you the one thing about all the goals he's scoring, though, he's getting into central positions, which he didn't do in an Arsenal shirt, which is nice to see. He could be another option. It could be him and who's the youngster centre forward.
We got Nketiah as well.
Yeah. You know, there's lots of good young prospects, but again, they've got to earn the right to win the shirt. So, they need to prove themselves. Dan, by the way, I do agree. I don't think that negotiation is over. I think it's part of the tactics. I think, this is just the club just setting a stall out. You hear the commentator mention today, apparently Aaron doesn't want to leave, but what will be. I still don't see us just letting a player of that quality go. Danny Daz 316 asks, will we finish in the top four?
Yes,
fair enough.
Jace, right. Will we finish in the top four?
Yeah. I don't know what it is. Look, I think we're going to win the league every season. This season's a bit different. It's the first time in like 20 years I haven't said we're going to win the title. I just think, if you look at what we had last season and you look at the areas we just needed to tighten up on, Emery's already started doing that. Those away wins we've had already, that's what, 12 points more than we had last season. Do you know what I mean? So I think, I think this squad is a lot better than people make out. The only thing I wish we had is a little bit more pace throughout the squad, but we've got what we got. You look at the home form last season, we had two tough games to start off with Chelsea and City. okay, they're done. That, you know, you got to let those go. But I think the form we've shown since, I didn't kind of expect us to be this good, nowhere near. You know, the results are brilliant. The form is still, you know, developing. So I'm pretty confident, yes.
Base, before you ask John that question, if you are, someone's just asked in the chat box, and give them credit for this. Someone's asked who Medley was. Well, I was about to reply, but Sam Ruth has put that Medley is a centre-back from the under-23 squad. He's also played for the under-16s, a few caps for those. He can also play at left-back, but his main position is centre-back. He's 18, left-footed, and he's been working his way through the academy. But he was, I think it's because we haven't got any other centre-backs, have we? And we got him from Chelsea 2 years ago.
Okay, cool. Well done. Nice. Look at that, Sam, you're winning. Well played. John Matsunasi asks, Ozil's performance too dependent on other people, players to perform in?
I think there's an element of that, yeah, because, we've said this before, you don't see many traditional number 10s like him. Although, you know, every number 10, like the best ones, are all slightly different and have their own style, but there's not a lot around like him anymore. So, yeah, if the strikers aren't performing, then he can't do anything, to be fair. I think it was his first assist of the season tonight, actually. Before that, he just had the goal. So that's not a bad thing. If he wants to score goals as well, that's great. I think that's a side of his game that's let him down, to be perfectly honest, throughout his career, because he's definitely good enough to get the goals. He's got the technique and the ability. But if the midfield isn't getting in the ball quick enough, if people aren't making the right runs and
Sorry, I'm going to cut in here, but doesn't that apply to every single player? Surely, and I'm sorry.
Oh, of course. Yeah, no. Absolutely. But what I would say is, if you are going to, as always, like I do this as well, people criticise and look at Ozil purely as a number 10. And it's very difficult if you're a number 10 and the people around you aren't performing, because you're going to get criticised even if you play the ball and make the pass. And sometimes you'll open yourselves into space and you're not getting the ball quick enough, and you go to try to do something and people have made the wrong run. It makes it difficult for you to look like you're playing well at times, which I think is fair. And it is probably why perhaps there've been times where I've criticised him too heavily, and probably lots of other people as well. But it's definitely true that there are certain positions on the pitch where you will look worse because of the players around you. I mean, like as a goalkeeper, you might not have a particularly good day in goal, but if the back four and the midfield aren't protecting you at all and you're just getting peppered with shots all game, there's not a lot you can do about it, really. You know, that is definitely not going to help you. And I think there's certain other areas in the pitch that also applies to other players.
You saw those centre-backs with no coverage from the full-backs.
There's a question actually relating into that.
This is a universal thing in a team sport. Yeah. I do think with Mezet, he has to pick his attitude up at times. You choose your attitude. You know, yes, times are tough for him. He's an emotional guy. He's an introvert. I feel all that. But I just want to see the Mesut Ozil for the last 60 minutes tonight play. Yeah. Because that is a wonderful thing to watch. And he can drive us to, you know, a proper top four challenge. You know, a proper one. Mm. And that would be wonderful to see, because he's got so much quality about him. Okay. Bradley Tucker asks, I'll answer this one actually. Do you think El Nene will be gone in January since he's third behind Torreira and Guendouzi? No, I don't. I think it's a long season. I think it's going to be 60 games this season. I think we need all hands on deck. Maybe in the summer, but at the moment, Maitland-Niles out, Smith Rowe still developing. The Ramsey situation, I don't see us getting rid of players until we know we have a definite target to bring into the place. Because, yeah, you know, we may have a large squad on paper, but how many of those guys are Premier League ready? So I don't think many of them are. Danny, Will O'Brien asks, when Socrates is fully fit, do you see him replacing either Holding or Mustafi, or do we leave it as it is?
Oh, he will definitely replace them. I can see. I think he will be the main one starting all the important games, and it'll be one of the other two that plays with him depending on what the game is and trying to predict who's going to do which one of those. But he will come in and one of those two will come out. It'll probably move it around from game to game. And also we've got someone from Guatemala listening, Brian Guitron. So he's from Guatemala. We've never had it. Hello, Guatemala.
Hello, Brian.
And we've got Thomas in Norway, but he's always here.
Thomas from Norway, he's the main staple of this podcast.
He keeps our channels to the fjords open 24/7. He never sleeps.
He's not wrong. He's not wrong. What can we say? John Alonso Spencer asks, back to Ozil, actually. Funny you getting all the Ozil questions, John.
I wonder why.
I wonder. Do you guys think Ozil performs better when he knows he'll be captain?
I actually do think he likes the pressure, kind of, a little bit. He's a very weird character. Like you said, he's an introvert, but I do think he's extravagant as well. Like, he likes to play fancy.
Yeah, his football's extravagant when he's on form, isn't he?
And he likes that side of the game. So I think he enjoys the responsibility, and I think he likes the fact that the players in the team will look to him to make something happen. He definitely enjoys that. I'm not sure he necessarily enjoys the media side of it. I don't think he likes that at all. But when you saw him at Madrid, and in particular under Mourinho as well, he was playing from that right-hand side, he worked really, really hard, but you also put in amazing performances. So you can clearly do it, and we've seen him do it in an Arsenal shirt as well. So, yeah, look, if giving him the armband means he's going to make performances like that week in, week out, then fine. Absolutely do it. But I do think he enjoys that. I do think there was, at the start of the season, it's fair to say, there was perhaps a little bit of a, you know, kind of mind games between him and Emery, a little bit of, you know, sizing each other up. How far can he push Emery and get away with certain things? And Emery's like, no, I'm not standing for that. I'm putting my foot down. You know, like bringing him on in the Europa League game where we'd already won it, things like that. And Ozil's kind of gone, okay, right, I know where I stand now. But he's probably said to him, look, play me, give me the responsibility, and I'll show you why I should be in the team every week. And why, because this is the first time, I think, he's actually got to play as a number 10. It was the one thing I did want to mention, actually, because it's been Ramsey playing there a lot, and he hasn't really played as a number 10. He's played almost as a second striker, very high up the pitch.
Yeah.
Ozil was given a lot more freedom tonight than anyone else who has been, who's played that position.
But combined with that, it's not just the freedom he's been given. It's the fact of the space because of the discipline of...
Yeah.
Tyrion and Iwobi staying out wider. Yeah. Whereas if you've had Ramsey sort of on the right-hand side and Aubameyang on the left, they've come in too early. Mm. That discipline shown by those two guys tonight allowed Ozil the space.
Yeah,
absolutely. And that freedom then, because he's very effective in that horizontal line.
Yeah.
When he comes across the park, he loves patrolling. And when you've got that space and you're able to... thrive in it, you know, you worry an awful lot of players, because that's all the centre backs can see. Oh fuck, where's he going now? You know, he's wondering again. You're taking players out of the game a lot.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting to watch, isn't it?
Yeah. So I like the way Emery treated him at the start of the season, in the sense that he was, no, you're not the most special player in the group, kind of thing. You know, I think it's fair to say Arsene, you know, kind of mollycoddled him a little bit when he was at the club, which I understand. That's just different styles of management. Everyone's different. And I don't think it's necessarily the wrong way to do it. But they seem to have their understanding now, where they both stand and who's in charge and who has the final say on things. And if this is what it takes to get the performances out of Ozil, then bring it on. More the merrier, because I absolutely loved watching him tonight.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely right. Dan.
Yes.
Joshy Gonmeig. I think it's Gonmeig. I don't know how to pronounce that. I do apologize, Joshy. If we play exactly like this for the rest of the season, would you be okay with it?
A cue at the end. Gonmeig, maybe. Interesting name. Yeah, of course I will. Yeah. It's but when we're going to get a little bit more stability at the back, when we get Pappy back, and maybe if Koz comes back, he's under absolutely no pressure. Monreal playing on the left-hand side will give us that extra dimension of attacking and defending and goals, which we didn't have tonight, because Lichtsteiner is not a left back at all. He can do a job there because I remember when he played for Cavendish. Did he come on for Bellerin once? And I was surprised at how many times he used his left foot to pass the ball with. So that was pretty good. But yeah, if we carry on doing this, I have no expectations this season. It's a new bedding in season. So at some point this season, things are going to start to go wrong. Probably if you look at football in general, there's going to be a dip. We're not going to go and win every game for the rest of the season. So when that point comes, we need to look back at these times and go, yeah, we had a magnificent run after only a little bit of rebuilding. I mean, we only had two games of the season, and ever since then, we've won every game. And it's nearly Christmas-ish.
Oh, don't start. I'll answer this one. Rob Vapes asks, if we signed Iwobi for 50 million in the summer, would we be creaming over him more? I don't know. I think he's been very good this season, but we're comparing that with his form last season, which was not the greatest. Let's be fair. He had a couple of really, really good games, but the majority of his performances last season were very poor. Okay. We have to remember with Iwobi, he's a young player. He's playing with conviction at the moment, which I love seeing about him. He's playing with discipline. You know, his defensive attitude is very good, which it wasn't last season. I think he's deserving of his plaudits so far. But I think, you know, if he hits a wall, you know, or you know, performances drop, you just got to bear with him. He's playing really, really well. He's doing a great job in this team at the moment, and it's exciting to watch him. So, you know, I think sometimes we look at this and we overanalyze it too much. Let the boy enjoy his football. He's enjoying playing under Emery. He looks to be learning a lot. It's happy days for him. So that's all good. It's just, you know, let's not hammer him too much. Let's not think, you know, his performances are very good. He's deserving of a place in this team at the moment, to be fair to the boy. You know, he's done really well. So, yeah, let's go. Stop putting questions in there.
How dare they?
Stop it.
I think this is some kind of question and answer session.
I know, we're going to end soon. No, I've got to go to bed. I've got work in the morning. Okay. John, Dom Nusk. I don't know if I've heard that name before. No. He's a bit of a fanny.
Sounds like a wrong one.
The Ramsey goal against Fulham or our third goal tonight, which sent you from 6 to 12 faster?
Oh, dear.
See, I almost got annoyed then because I was like, why didn't you say 5 to 10? And then yeah, I'm like, oh, right, yeah. No, clock face, I get it. Very clever, Dom. You didn't do a reference for the ladies, though. We've got both genders, Dom. Oh, sorry. Yeah. There's more than two. Oh no, there we
go. Don't go right. Down that road.
Yeah. Anyway, Fulham goal or tonight's one? It's the Fulham one. It's got to be. And I know people are gonna say it's because it's Ramsey. It's not. It's the finish from Ramsey is brilliant, but it's the fact it comes from all the way from right back and just the little and it's all one touch. I love it. But the goal tonight as well was beautiful. It really was. But,
at this time, at the end of the season, we'd be have more than just those two to argue about.
Yeah. You look at those two goals, okay, to produce those in back-to-back Premier League games, you know, and the skill involved in both sets, some of the piece of play, that flick from Hector and the Ramsey goal, the interplay between, you know, Lacazette, Hector, we're just spoiled. It's brilliant.
I would say against Fulham, a couple of those flicks and trips, and none of those were really meant. A couple of those could have been a bit, kind of jungle, but this one tonight, they both knew exactly what they were doing.
No, I'm sorry. You look at the intent in that Fulham goal. They were going forward. Everything was meant. I'm sorry. You know, it's one of those.
I'm not saying it wasn't momentum.
Dan, question. Yes. George Constantino asks, if we go 21 straight, how much does that put Wenger's past few seasons behind us? Are we talking about the Chelsea FA Cup final? Because that was only two seasons ago. George, thank you for your donation. But I think a lot of the time when we look at Wenger's last few years, we look at the negative. There were plenty of negatives, but there were also plenty of positives. But answer the question, Dan.
Was he on about 21 wins in a row?
If we get 20 wins straight.
Well, no one's ever done that. The most Wenger ever did was 13, twice. And one of those was a charity shield. So maybe he's only ever done it once, which would have been I mean, the most he's ever done is 12.
I tell you what, if we win 20 games straight, okay, we'll win the title.
If we do 20 games straight, I will change my name to Arsene Wenger.
I'm talking of Arsene Wenger. Happy birthday, Arsene Wenger. He is 69 today.
My favourite number.
Oh, God, I knew one of you was going to say that.
What can I say? Well done, John. Well done. Well done.
Happy birthday, Mr. Wenger.
Yeah, happy birthday, Arsene.
I hope you're enjoying them. I don't know, what retirement or just kicking
leave. I think he can go back to work in January.
But so, thank you, January, 1997 until 2004. Thank you very much for that. I'm not going soon, Jace.
I tell you what, see, the Chelsea Cup final is still my favourite. They were the best team in the land by a mile.
And it was so unexpected, that result. Yeah.
But that's one of my top three results for a Wenger.
Yeah, Pear and Rob Holding that day were magnificent.
Bob.
You know, for them to equalise after having a man sent off and then to come back and all these cuts back and just, you know, Rambo giving it large after the goal. It was just, it was unbelievable. And talking of unbelievable, Nolan McStunner asks, our centre-backs have been getting a lot of stick recently, but are they really that bad? Isn't it because we're losing the ball in the middle because we're trying to play out from the back? John?
I think... Oh, Daryl Kane again.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Give a rating breakdown. That's not
the response, is it? Normally, someone gives you money. Oh, for fuck's sake.
I know. Daryl, stop it. Please, save your money.
Cheers, Daryl.
Thank you so much. Oh, yeah.
Daryl, thank you ever so much.
No, it's been nuts. I apologise to everyone who's listening to this later because the first 20 minutes of this podcast has got to be awful to hear.
I'll take care of that later. Just get on with this stuff.
I think that some of the criticisms are fair, depending on, you know, I think Mustafi falling over, you know, bad. I think Socrates giving the ball away in certain situations, bad. Bob Holding tonight didn't have the greatest game ever. But I think it's fair to say that, yeah, because we're playing it out from the back, we are putting them under a little bit of unnecessary pressure at times, but it's the way the manager wants to play. And the benefit of it is when we get it right, you get the goal we scored at Fulham, which I will take some mistakes for that kind of thing. And I think that Torreira and Xhaka are still getting an understanding. Xhaka has been a bit hit and miss this season, I think it's fair to say. Every season he's been at Arsenal, he's got better as the season's gone on, generally, and he's always finished stronger. That's something he definitely needs to sort out, though, because you need to start the season well. But, yeah, I don't think the centre-backs have been as bad. The one thing I would question is their organisation from set pieces. That still, for me, is disappointing.
Yeah, you had Lacazette marking Vardy today. Yeah. No, Mkhitaryan marking Vardy at set piece, which
Vardy, I mean, if that's from the manager, then that's something Emery really needs to look at. But if it's, you know, these are your positions, we're doing sort of half zone or half man marking, which it seems like we are at times, then I think the centre backs and the goalkeeper have got to take a bit more responsibility and go, or that geezer's, you know, a known threat in the air, or he's a big striker. They're going to have information on people like Maguire and stuff like that, aren't they? Yeah. You know.
But you saw in the first half the opportunity he has coming around the back.
Yeah,
it's Hector on him. It's not a centre back. It's Hector on him. So obviously this is a managerial tactic.
Yeah. So that's something that I would like to see addressed. But yeah, I do think it's true. The centre backs maybe are getting blamed a little bit too much because they aren't getting. They haven't been, in certain situations, been getting the support that they need. But it's getting better with game to game. I think you look at the stats for when Torreira's in the team, when he's not, we've conceded less goals. So he's clearly making a difference.
I've got a stat on that. Okay. The last four games that he started, we've had two clean sheets and conceded two. And the four games before that, we conceded seven goals, where he only played bit parts.
Yeah.
Right, I'm about to give away a T-shirt after the last question, okay? So get your heads around this. There are 314 of you watching right now. There will be a question, okay, after this last question for the guys. It'll be first name in the box, first correct name in the box.
If you've won before.
Wins it. If you've won before, you're not getting another one. No. Okay?
Well, that Nicky Wilson doesn't need one because his dad nicked his.
Well, you know, it's one of those. Right, last question for us here. I want us all to answer it. Corey Austin asks, is it fun being to be a Gooner again, Danny?
It's always been fun, but it depends on how much of a sadist you are. Sometimes it's people think it's fun to get a testicle caught in their shoe, but it's been awkwardly painful at times. But like we said, the thing that kept us all going was us lot doing the show and having all you lot in the chat box joining in, and that's why it's just been fun and it's been a giggle. But yeah, that's the answer. I can't remember what the question was.
it's really fun. The only thing that's annoying me now is these stupid international breaks every month for this Euro League nation, whatever it is.
Horrendous. Stop being negative, just answer the question.
No, it's great. Look, win or lose, you're still an Arsenal fan, but it's so much better when we're winning. And it's just such a good buzz around the team. Also, I like the fact that Thomas from Norway went to answer the question before you even asked it and just put Stepanovs in as his answer.
Incorrect. That's nice. I respect that. It is. It's enjoyable what the change. You know, we've gone, as much as I love Arsene Wenger, you know, it had gone a little stale. As much as there were good times and there were some wonderful home performances last season, to see how we're developing this season is really interesting. To watch the Mesut Ozil situation, the Aaron Ramsey situation, regardless of your opinion or your point of view, it doesn't really matter. There is an air of excitement around it. We're lucky we get to do this. Even through the tough times last year, you know, me and John would come here, we'd just be doing a two-man show at times, and you know, before the game, all doom and gloom. And then we start chatting with you guys, and it's fantastic. It's tonight has just been unbelievable. We're so lucky to have this platform and to do what we do and to be able to sort of watch the Arsenal, be a fan of the Arsenal, and get to do this with you guys. I don't like to use the word humbling, but it really is at times, because you know, if you'd have told me a few years ago I'd get to watch the Arsenal, get to meet up with Dom, with OG, with Chris, you know, with Neil, with Simon Collins, with Jeff, with, you know, I have a beer, watch the game with them, Raj, you know, and get to do this on a weekly basis, I'd have thought, there's no way that's going to happen. That's just impossible. And here we are, and we're watching great football. We're watching the greatest football club the world's ever seen, and we get to do it in your company. So it's unbelievable. It's magic.
Don't start crying.
I've got a semi. Come on, Chase, carry on there.
Right, that's it. Question time. Question time.
Okay, but this is the bit everyone's been waiting for. They didn't want to watch the radio show.
You get a t-shirt.
Okay? You're stuck for a question, Jace. I've put a couple in our little chat box. If you're stuck for one.
I've got one.
Go on then.
In the Aston Villa FA Cup final, who scored the first goal? Go! Da-da!
Mikel Silvestri from George. No. Daryl Kane. Daryl Kane's off. Cheers, Daryl.
Thanks, Daryl.
Cheers, Dar.
Jonas has put Thomas. He's put something in Danish. Alonso Spence has put Sanchez. Was it Sanchez?
No.
Seelaw's put Ramsey.
No.
What? Loki's put Walcott.
Yes!
Loki, my neighbour. He's only about 15 miles from me.
Loki 73. Well done.
Yes.
You're the winner. You better double check how fast am I you.
Steph also got it. Andre Radescu got it. Daniel Cronin got it. AFC Coyote got it. McManus. No Limit Stunner. Wayne Davis. Oh, wow. Yeah, loads of you got it. You got to be quicker on the keyboard.
Loki 73, you are a winner. Please message us the size you want, the colour you want. You get yellow. Look at the lovely yellow.
Ooh. What colour choices are there, Jace? Yellow, black and red?
There's red. There's yellow. And there's black.
Ooh.
And that's it.
That's all you need.
Yeah, Loki, message the big man, please. You've been amazing tonight. Thank you ever so much. I dread to think how much money's been donated to us tonight. If you are listening on iTunes, my apologies for the first 20 minutes of the show. It was an absolute car crash because people just kept on donating money to us.
Why you should be here for the live show and join in the fun.
Yeah.
No, some people can't make it though, Danny, depending where they live in the world. Yeah,
they're usually like Dom and Shredder and Jeff, they're all bloody working, or other Jeff. I mean, the Jeff, he's on holiday in bloody, where is he at the moment? Jamaica?
He's everywhere. He's everywhere. I don't know. But, you know, if you do want to take part in the chat box, because it is quite amazing, like the YouTube channel, click on the bell icon and you'll be notified whenever we go live. If you want to leave us an iTunes rating, it would be appreciated. 5 stars would be lovely. You know, crack on with it. And if, be nice about this.
And if you do go and have a look at our iTunes rating, the first one says a little bit racist there, lads. We were taking a piss out of Jason, I think. That's why that we're having a go at the Welsh. Been a little bit mean. But it wasn't. Okay. It was all in jest and nothing was meant.
Yeah. My thanks to you, John.
No worries, mate. It was a pleasure. Thank you, Chatbox, as well, for making it completely insane.
I'll have a word with the chat box in a second. Behave.
Go on.
The chat box. I've only got 161 likes. What's going on? You've been okay. You know, we've had the donations. That's been lovely. Thank you very much. There's been lots of good chat in there. That's been great. Fantastic. But 161 likes? You're embarrassing yourselves. Get on it. Do it. Now. 190, please. Chop, chop. Let's go. Danny, thank you for turning up.
Hello, my name's Danny. I'm an Aquarius and I like odd-shaped mugs and licorice.
I don't know what. That's the most
That's Danny's actual videotape for the Undateables. If you live in the UK, you know what that show is.
All of my friends want me to go on Undateables.
Oh, look here. C-Rex just put in the box. The Welsh aren't a race. They are a state of mind.
What better way to finish a show, Jace?
Also, my thanks to Chris. You were superb tonight. That's the most coherent you've been all season. Well done, Chris.
He's amazing.
He did actually message me and said that there's 3 of you on. If there's 4 of us on, it would take all night. So I'll come on next time.
Oh, Jonas. Oh, my God. Jonas, you're a git. Is this the thumbs up button? He says donating another. Oh, Jesus. Well,
right, Norwegian krona. I love a bit of Norwegian krona. Thank you very much, Jonas.
Guys, to everybody who's donated, you will. Danny, can you mention them all, please?
It will have to go in the extras and part 2 of the podcast tomorrow, because this tomorrow's podcast is going to be me, Lord Hillward, our very own Mr. Colic, who they're both in there, and it's going to be Gav.
She-War.
Yeah. Be there, flocking merch, as the cool kids are saying. So, yeah, it'll be us three, and then I'll be doing the end bit probably on my own, where I chat about nonsense. So, yeah, I'll say a thank you to everybody in the end at the part 2 of tomorrow's pod.
Yeah, so thank you to everybody's donated, but thank you to everybody in the chat box. You're just brilliant. You are absolutely top-notch. You're entertaining. You're funny. Actually, some really good discussion there. The McManus is there. Alonzo Spencer's there. Oh, Frank Gunner's there. Oprah and Flim's there. I don't know what to say. Stephen Selby, the great Stephen Selby.
Thursday show, Jace. Who's on?
That's beautiful. Thursday's show, I've no idea. I can't remember.
Your lineup is Josh is on, Carl, and then it says John Danny hybrid, apparently. Ooh. So, yeah. Me and Danny are going to merge in some sort of strange fashion. So, either one of us or both of us will be on. But yeah, that will be straight after the sporting game. Yes. So, we'll be back then. Chris won't be on. Thank you so much, Chatbox. I felt like one of those cool Twitch streamers tonight, you know, like Ninja. It was amazing. All those donations. Unbelievable. I feel like we haven't done enough
to be worthy of all that. We finally made it after 6 seasons and about 1,000 shows.
And someone asked about an hour ago. No, that's not a real fireplace behind Danny.
No, it is not. If you see the sides of it, it's got LEDs on it, which I don't know how to turn the LEDs off, but it's a heater as well because I'm old and cold.
I genuinely don't understand why people donate so much money when we talk such a lot of bollocks. But then there are there which, you know, seem to get the same sort of thing. So what the hell? hey, on that note, take care. good night, Danny. Switch this off, please, because I'm losing the will to live. I don't know what's going on.
Cheeky monkeys.